Welcome to Catholic 24/7 in Half the Time. On this podcast, you'll hear insights on living as a Catholic in our ordinary lives. Here's the host of Catholic 24/7 in Half the Time, Allison Gingras.
On today's show, we'll be reviewing the recent interview with Pope Francis, in which he reveals his top 10 secrets to happiness. Now let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour together. Lord, we ask you to guide our hearts and our minds as we listen to the words that you have for us to hear. Lord, I ask for your work and your will to be done, and for me to get out of your way. We ask all this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So where was I this week? What was I up to? Besides making Catholic 24/7. I was able to make another guest appearance on Monday Morning Catholic with Joanne Mercier. So the show I was on aired on August 2nd, I think, or 3rd, maybe August 3rd. You can find it archived on there. Her Facebook page, Monday Morning Catholic, also has them listed in there. You can see they're pretty easy to follow. She has my name in the description that I was on. And don't just listen to mine, listen to the other ones. The show consists of discussing the week's homilies that they heard. And then, you know, some of the things in the news. This week we talked about the sign of the peace, how there was some discussion about taking it out of the liturgy or moving it in the liturgy to a different location. It was a very interesting conversation that the three of us had. Linda Reed was also on with us. And I love getting different perspectives of, you know, how the liturgy looks to people. I happen to be a germaphobe who's always struggled with the sign of peace. I get just so awkward. I don't know which way to turn. I end up usually like reaching for somebody's hand as they're reaching for another person's hand, or I reach out for their hand, but they're not a person who wants to shake hands because they probably, like me, are a huge germaphobe. I actually, true story, joined the choir at my church to avoid the sign of peace. This is how much this happens to stress me out. A little bit of an anxiety issue, and little things can mean big things for me. And the sign of peace happened to be one of them. I've really struggled with this part of the liturgy. It just completely stresses me. It still stresses me out. Like, I'm not sad that I have to sign for my daughter. And my sign of peace is just to the two of them because they're there and everybody else. It's a wave. I know how to handle a wave. I'm not always good at which way to turn. It's like you're in the middle of the pew. Do you go to the left, the right, front? I just, you know, can you relate to this? Can anybody out there relate to the stress of the sign of the peace? What I did learn from Joanne, who's a very, I don't know what the word is, astute, gifted, smart, as we say here in Massachusetts, in the Boston area, a really smart woman when it comes to the liturgy. And she explained, you know, why we use it, where it came from. It's from that part in scripture where we're told, if you're before you come to the altar, if you have anything against your brother, you know, make peace with him, reconcile with your brother. So that's that moment in the liturgy where we reconcile with our brother. We make peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ before we come to the altar and receive Jesus. Which I thought was pretty neat. It definitely warmed my heart a little tiny bit to the sign of the peace. I still would not be devastated, quite honestly, if they removed it. But that definitely opened up my heart that it is a beautiful part of the liturgy and I just need to get over it. The other part of this discussion, you can find it anywhere on the internet. I will pin it to the Pinterest Catholic 24/7 page, as well as put on Reconcile to You Resources, this article that was pretty widely spread through the internet and social media this week. The other thing was, so they said we're going to keep it, but maybe we could really put some barriers around how the sign of the peace is used, or what's the word I'm looking for? Performed? Yeah, I'll go with that. Performed during the liturgy. It talked about keeping the people in their place, keeping the people in their places during, you know, that part of the liturgy. I belong to the Emmaus community, which is a retreat program that takes place 3 times a year. Go to emmausretreats.com for more information, and that is definitely linked on Reconcile to You, and I will pin it as well. But after you've made your Emmaus retreat, which is a 3-day, Friday, Saturday, come home on Sunday, retreat, you're then, and you can actually come to these beforehand, we have what's called the Galilee, which is a once a month meeting where we have Mass. And we're a very friendly bunch of people. And we've done very close bonds, having been on retreat together and growing in faith together. And when it comes time for the sign of the peace, it can become mayhem, where people want to hug everybody that's there and to greet people. It might have been a long time since you've seen somebody, and you really just want to embrace them and give them God's peace. You know, you want to share with them the peace of Christ. And we can have people going all over. So what they've done is we mention the peace of Christ where it belongs, and the sign of the peace where it belongs in the liturgy. But then the actual celebration of that part of the rite is done at the end of Mass when it's over. So you can hug and greet all you want, give all the peace you want after the liturgy has completed. The other thing they talked about was having the priest not come down from the altar to give the sign of the peace to the congregation. And in some places, I can understand where that makes sense during your regular Sunday Mass. But I couldn't help but think about funeral liturgies, especially because I happened to go to one this week from my great aunt, Irene Silva. Please keep her in your prayers. And that was a great comfort to the family. You know, when he came down and gave a sign of peace to my cousins and her husband, my uncle, my great uncle, you know, where if I may have said before going to the funeral, yeah, you know, he should never come down, I really saw in that moment how bringing the peace of Christ physically to those in that moment really kind of, to me, made sense. So let's jump right into this interview in the Argentine weekly Viva on July 27th, and this top 10 list. And this was adapted from an article we're going to talk about today. It's going to be adapted from an article by Carol Glatz from Catholic News Service, or CNS. Number one, live and let live. Everyone should be guided by this principle, he said, which has a similar expression in Rome with the saying, move forward and let others do the same. One of the greatest blessings I have is offering retreats on forgiveness or talks on forgiveness. I've given both just a 45 minute to an hour talk on forgiveness, as well as a whole day retreat on this topic. And I think it's at the core of what he's saying. When we hold people in bitterness or anger, we're really refusing to live a full life, the abundant life that Jesus gave to us. And we're also refusing to let them live. We're holding them to a mistake they made, or, you know, maybe it was a full out choice that they made, but we still, you know, how many of us have made mistakes and we wish people would forgive us or let us go? But I can tell you, you know, when I've spoken to women and I've seen them come in the door just so heavy and burdened and sad, and when they've allowed themselves to let go and let the other person of the burden of unforgiveness, it's really quite miraculous. It really is miraculous. And then we always have reconciliation as part of the retreats so that we can have that beginning of that healing. Not only do we say the words, I'm no longer going to be angry or bitter, I'm going to let go of this, but then we also have the sacrament, the grace of that sacrament that helps us to actually let go and to begin to heal from whatever it is, whatever those wounds are that are keeping us bound. So get to move forward and let others do the same. Number two, be giving of yourself to others. People need to be open and generous towards others, he said, because if you withdraw into yourself, you run the risk of becoming egocentric, and stagnant water becomes putrid. Pope Francis is never shy with his imagery, is he? He's never shy with making us see exactly the point he's trying to make. Stagnant water becomes putrid. Yeah, I don't want to become putrid. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a great way to be. And no wonder there's no happiness there. Be giving of yourself to others. I've seen the word joy, J-O-Y, used as a way of prioritizing our life towards God. And again, finding that joy that God has for us. When we look at the word joy, the kind of this way of prioritizing our life towards joy, towards Jesus. And J stands for putting Jesus first, O, others second, and yourself, Y, last. Now, how can we put others before ourselves? Could be as simple as looking at your own family situation. Are you somebody who, when you come home from work, is tired? And when you look at your kids and you think, oh, I should probably be playing ball in the backyard, or even sitting down for a tea party with my daughter, but I'm so tired. I've worked so hard today to provide for them. And well, providing just has to be enough. That's okay once in a while. But once in a while, we also have to make the decision of saying, I'm tired, but I want my children to know that I love them. Trust me, as a mom of teenagers, they don't stay little very long. And those times to spend with them, it gets less and less. You know, they get their cars, they get their jobs, they go off to college, they get busy. Maybe that time that you need to be making for others to find true happiness is in your own home. It's looking at your children, your spouse. And I'm a total workaholic. I will admit that. It doesn't help that I write and speak about God, and I'm so in love with God that I just want my whole life truly to be Catholic 24/7. But included in that Catholic 24/7 is my family. My first vocation is wife and mother. And it is hard some days. I will fully admit I am with you 100%. Those people who have a hard time coming home at night and either wanting to unwind and just be quiet with themselves, or coming home at night and still feeling like there's a pile of work to be done. And after dinner, they want to get that work done. I completely get that. God has put those people in our lives for a reason, and we don't want to look back at the end of our life and regret that we didn't make enough time for them. As Pope Francis is telling us, serving others, being with others, giving of yourself to others is a path to happiness. And I've always felt and noticed in my own life, when I make time for others, when I make time for God, then somehow, miraculously, through the power of God, obviously, my time is multiplied, and I have time to do things that I didn't think I actually had time to do. So let's put others before ourselves. Proceed calmly in life. Number 3, proceed calmly in life. The Pope, who used to teach high school literature, God bless him. No wonder he's on his way to sainthood. He doesn't have to be Pope to become a sainthood. You just have to teach high school. You can become a saint. I think to proceed calmly in life, you need to proceed with prayer and lots of time in the sacraments. I know that when I started going to adoration, it really brought a new sense of peace and calmness to my heart and helped me to be a more Christ-centered person, which automatically makes me a calmer person. Not always, but I prayerfully try to be. I'll get up every morning and offer my day to the Lord. And in that, I'm going to add now, help me to proceed calmly. Not only give you everything that I do and say, but help me do it calmly. I like that. Number 4, have a healthy sense of leisure. He goes on to say, consumerism has brought us anxiety and stress, causing people to lose a healthy culture of leisure. Their time is swallowed up, so people can't share it with anybody. And I talked about that one in number 2. It's a commandment to rest on the Lord's Day. God gives us Sunday not because he needed to rest. The Lord says, keep holy the Lord's Day, first of all and foremost, so that we remember to give him the praise and glory that he deserves. But that day of rest, I mean, God didn't need to rest on the seventh day. He gave us that day of rest. I mean, he remodeled that for us because we need it. We need to recharge. We can't constantly be pushing forward. We need to relax, give our bodies time to rejuvenate, and not just rest in front of the TV or shopping, but spending time together. You know, the next one, number 5, is Sundays should be a holiday. I remember being a child, you know, when I was a kid, the blue laws were in effect and you couldn't work on Sundays. Every Sunday was spent visiting my grandmother, one of my grandmothers. In fact, I remember at some points them actually coming together, and we would be with both sets of grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles, and we'd have a big meal together, and we would have fun and play outside and watch the Red Sox once in a while. But for the most part, we would just come together and Sunday would be a holiday. It'd be no difference when we got together for Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter. We were all together. The extended family was there. We had a big meal. Sunday should be for family. And I know that can be difficult when you have worked, you know, five, sometimes 6 days a week, sometimes for Sunday, and you have grocery shopping to do, you have house cleaning to do, but to carve out just some time for your family. Again, I am speaking to myself when I say this. When I share things with you, trust me, God is teaching me right along with you. I am not here as your teacher, but as your peer. I am right there with you. Sundays are so difficult for me sometimes because I just feel like there's always so much to do. I'm definitely a workaholic. So I, with you, am going to make Sunday a holiday. We never miss Mass. We feel that's definitely the core of our life and our family is to attend Mass. Then we need to find ways to continue to have that family time together. I'd love to know your feedback and your thoughts of how you're making family time, your days off on Sunday. How are you making Sunday a holiday? Share that with me. Number 6, find innovative ways to create dignified jobs for young people. We need to be creative with young people. If they have no opportunities, they will get into drugs and be more vulnerable for suicide, the Pope says. It's not enough to give them food, he said. Dignity is given to you when you can bring food home for one's own labor. I think I'd like to make that an entire show at one point. That's a beautiful thought. Before I move on to number 7, let me review numbers 1 through 6. Number 1, live and let live, or move forward and let others do the same. Number 2, be giving of yourself to others. Number 3, proceed calmly in life. Yep, that one's going to be my biggest challenge right there. Number 4, a healthy sense of leisure. Okay, maybe that's going to be my biggest challenge. Number 5, Sundays should be holidays. Sunday is for family, Pope Francis says. Number 6, find innovative ways to create dignified jobs for young people. We need to be creative with young people. I'm particularly interested in that one as a mom of two teenage boys, as I said. And I think we'll definitely need to spend some time on that one again in a future show, especially with the recent events in the news, such as a rash of suicides and the rise of depression in young people, and sadly in our culture in general. Recent suicide of a young girl in my parish, and also of a dear friend. I'm tired. I want it to stop. I think we all want it to stop. We don't really know what to do. We can pray, continue to pray. There's lots of things out there now of being shared of what we can do to help. You know, if we see somebody in that situation or we're in that situation, let's just not put our blinders on anymore. Let's take them down. Let's look around us and be Christ in the world to people who are feeling alone and sad. We know that this goes beyond sadness. There's mental health issues, but we also need to know that we can be instruments of hope and healing in people's lives. Let's ask the Lord to guide each and every one of us, if there's somebody in our life that needs that hope and that healing, that we would be that instrument for them. Now, moving back onto the list, number 7, respect and take care of nature. Environmental degradation. Oh, come on, it wouldn't be Catholic 24/7 unless there was one word that Allison can't say, or more than one word. So wait till the next one. Even bigger word coming up. Stay tuned. This is one of the biggest challenges we have, Pope Francis says. Quote, I think a question that we're not asking ourselves isn't humanity committing suicide with this indiscriminate and tyrannical use of nature? End quote. If you want to hear more about Pope Francis's thoughts on the environment and our use of it, I highly recommend looking up his general audience on the gift of knowledge. I've actually pinned that to the Reconcile to You Catholic 24/7 Pinterest board. The most memorable quote from that is, if we destroy creation, it will destroy us. Well, there's something to keep you awake at night. Just ponder that one for a little bit. I personally know that I'm doing a pretty good job of not destroying nature because I don't go out in it. But on top of that, I try to conserve water. I try to get my teenage boys to conserve water. I recycle just about everything in the house, much to the chagrin of my husband, because guess who has to go with it to the transfer station? I don't drive any more than I have to, and I definitely, like I said, don't destroy the great outdoors because you'd have to find me in it first. But each and every one of us has a responsibility to care for the world that God has given us. I remember seeing an article not too long ago about kind of adding to, I don't want to say our sin list, but for lack of a better word right now, that's what's coming to my mind. It was this list of new sins or sins, not new sins, but sins that kind of come about through our interaction with the world around us. And one of them was not taking care of the world, you know, littering and not recycling or, you know, making good choices with the materials in the world, again, that we have to live in. I'll have to find that article and pin it there as well. As I'm sure I'm missing some of the main points of that. Somehow I can't see the lack of recycling to be a great of the seven deadly sins, but I think not taking care of the world and the goods that the Lord has given us, not to consider it treasure, all that he has provided for us would truly be a sin, because it would be ignoring or not taking serious the call to preserve the world, or, you know, might even fall into thou shalt not kill, because we're killing ourselves by not preserving the world, not just for ourselves, but for future generations. You know, to live so arrogantly that it doesn't matter what we cut down or what we use or what we pollute. You know, when I was just in China not too long ago, it just blew my mind when I looked at the environment there. It's kind of scary to think that's part of our world. You know, how long will it take for that to get to us? Is there enough trees between us and China to clean out the air, to clean out that water? The Yangtze River is gray. Brown. Looks like chocolate milk. It's not supposed to look like chocolate milk. The air there was so oppressive that, you know, we had to take allergy medicine the entire time we were there. We definitely didn't spend too much time outside in it. We spent more time inside the air-conditioned hotels because the air quality was just so poor. If every person lived for themselves and for today without any concern about tomorrow or future generations, we would get to that point pretty quickly, and our world would, as the Pope said, destroy us because we've destroyed it. Now, this is kind of ironic, going from all of that that I just said to number 8, stop being negative. Okay, I'll try to stop being negative. He said, quote, needing to talk badly about others indicates low self-esteem. That means I feel so low that instead of picking myself up, I have to cut others down. And then he goes on to say, letting go of negative things quickly is healthy. Now, I have someone in my life that's very close to me that is a very negative person who absolutely falls into what the Pope is saying. Instead of looking at themselves and what they can change and what they could work on physically or emotionally or mentally about themselves, they spend a lot of time pointing fingers at other people. Like, I'm not so bad. Look at them. Oh, I thought, you know, I was overweight, but no, look at them. I'm skinny next to them. And when we do that, that absolutely shows how little we think of ourselves. It doesn't change our opinion of ourselves either, just because we look at somebody else and think, oh, well, I'm not as bad as them, or I'm not as, you know, rude as them, or I'm not as fat as them, or I'm not as poor as them, or whatever it is you're going to compare yourself to. That doesn't change who you are. It might make you feel better for a second, but I highly doubt that. And I can relate, because I've been a very negative person. If you spend enough time with people who aren't the most positive, you tend to pick up those habits. It's easier to see the faults in others to admit our own weaknesses. And ironically, it's a form of pride. You know, when we're unable to take responsibility for our weaknesses or our faults or our failings, when we're unable to look at ourselves and go, okay, I am so not perfect. This, this, and this, I could really be working on. Instead of looking at other people and saying, oh, I'll point that finger that way, let's turn the finger inward and look at what we ourselves could be changing and working on to make ourselves a better person, you know, make ourselves not perfect, but someone who's striving to please the God. You know, everything we should do should not be how do we please others, but first and foremost, how do we please God? How do we use all the gifts and talents He has given us to glorify Him? Even how do we use our weaknesses? How do we humble ourselves to say, so not making the mark on this one, but, you know, I trust that God has allowed me this weakness for a reason. And instead of knocking other people, I'm going to learn how to either live with this, work with this, or change it. But it's all about ourselves, pointing the finger at ourselves and not outward. It reminds me a lot of last week's show on envy. You know, how our jealousies or our inadequacies can help us, can not help us, but cause us to look at other people in a negative light and not want them to be happy. If we can't have it, they can't either. Or to be very sad when somebody receives good news or promotion or even wins the lottery. God's blessings are immense. They're not limitless. So they're not limited. They are limitless. I was thinking for Lent, I was going to give up negative thoughts. You know, every time I had a negative thought, instead of having a swear jar, I was going to like put a quarter in the jar. Actually, I think you should all do this. And then you can send your quarters to me. Why, you ask? Because trying to park in downtown New Bedford can sometimes be really difficult when you are digging through your purse to find quarters. So if you all just send me your quarters, I can park here for the rest of the year. I'm so not serious, but maybe a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Finding those quarters, never easy. But seriously, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Let's accept that gift of joy that He has literally died for. He died for us to have life and have it abundantly. A joy-filled life. So let's accept this life of joy in our hearts. As the Pope said, let's not be sourpussed Christians. Let's let our hearts show through with the love and the joy that comes from knowing that God loves us and He has died for us and He's opened heaven to us, and all He wants in return is our love back. Let's try to be positive because we have been given this great, great gift. Number 9, respect others' beliefs. I don't think it does much good or converts many hearts when we have arguments about how our faith is right and your faith is wrong, or how our faith is better. I can't see how anybody would be open to that bit of logic. If you want to inspire someone to look deeper into your faith, then live it out loud. Share it, but share what God has done for you. Testify to how the Catholic faith has touched and changed your life. You will change way more hearts than trying to convince them with any argument that you are right or that your faith is better. Any other method just divides. It certainly doesn't attract anybody to our faith. Number 10, work for peace. We are living in a time of many wars, the Pope said, and the call for peace must be shouted. Peace sometimes gives the impression of being quiet, but it is never quiet. Peace is always proactive and dynamic. We can work for peace. We can pray for peace. That can be our number one way of working for peace, is to pray for it. May it be peace in your own family or peace in our world. Let's ask the Lord to use us however He sees fit to bring peace into the world. So if you've got thoughts on this list, maybe something you'd like to add yourself, some, you know, as we've been talking, something that's come up, you know, touched your heart, share it with me. Go on to Facebook, Twitter, info@reconciletoyou.com. Let me know what you think.
This has been Catholic 24/7 in Half the Time with host Allison Gingras. For more information, visit reconciledtoyou.com or email info@reconciledtoyou.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always receive God's many blessings.